Beautiful. And I appreciate that. Take your Bible, please. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 6. The book of Acts chapter number 6. Every now and then I'm going to pull one out on you. That's not in a book study that we're studying through or whatever the case may be. I've had this message prepared for I don't know how long. I don't know if I've ever preached it anywhere. Maybe I have. If I haven't, I don't know about it. I haven't preached it here. If I have, I've got amnesia. You can tell me about it after the service. But this is a message that God's laid on my heart for this hour, and I appreciate His leading. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. You don't either, so we act like we do and go on. Whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, serving behind the scenes. Serving behind the scenes. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for this great crowd that's come back this evening. I pray that you make this worth their time to come out and hear your word preached. May you speak to us. May you help this to be a profitable time, not only for these dear folks, but for this church. And Lord, the future of this church and what we're trying to do. May thy will be done in a mighty way. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to be clean. If somebody's here tonight that's come to church but never come to Christ, never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, by confessing their sin and asking you to come into their heart, may tonight be the glorious night they do that in Jesus' name. Amen. In chapter 2 of Acts, we see the day of Pentecost, where Peter preached and 3,000 souls were added to the church. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there to see that? In verse 47 of chapter 2, we see there were more people being saved and added to the church every day of life. In chapter 4, we see another great moving of God in the hearts of people. And as a result of this meeting in chapter 4 of Acts, in verse number 4, we see 5,000 were gloriously saved. What a wonderful, wonderful time this must have been. In chapter 5, we see in verse 14 that multitudes of both men and women were added to the Lord. Needless to say, as we approach chapter 6, the church is doing great. Wouldn't you agree? 3,000, 5,000 multitudes being saved daily. Souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. God is being glorified. This church is doing wonderful. However, for this to continue, get this, we must consider chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. Keep in mind what's going on. The church is doing great. Souls being saved every day. I'm talking about multitudes of men and women. 3,000 this day, 5,000 here. Daily they're being saved. Multitudes. And I mean the church is doing great. But then there's a problem that hits. And I want to speak to you tonight from my heart on serving behind the scenes. In other words, for this church that's doing great to go forward and to continue to see people saved, and to continue to see lives changed, to continue to see the blessing of God, somebody is going to have to take the role of serving behind the scenes. Now, I want to share with you three things tonight, and I trust that you'll see a little bit of my heart. I trust every time I preach that you see my heart and you don't hear my words. Matter of fact, I hope you see the heart of God through my preaching, and that's the truth. I want the Lord to speak through me. There's no doubt that this hour is the message for this hour. And I appreciate how the Lord leads, guides, and directs. First thing I want you to notice with me is found in verse 1, and that is the neglected widows. In verse number 1, look at it, it says, In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. Here it is, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration.
Now the Bible says in verse number 1, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring. Now understand this. While things are going great and souls are being saved, a need was being neglected. See, these widows were at the mercy of the church. It was the church's obligation to take care of these widows. Let me ask you a question. What was these widows being neglected? Was that something that displeased God, yes or no? Sure it did. But what is more important, the widows being neglected or the studying, preaching, and salvation of souls? The studying, preaching, and salvation of souls, when you look at those two, no doubt it takes precedence. But God wants that need to be met so this need doesn't be neglected on top of it. Now stay with me here because I'm trying to help you. These widows were at the mercy of the church. In other words, this was truly a need. This was not something that just arose and it wasn't really a need. It was a need that needed to be met. And the Bible says that these widows are being neglected. You know what that word neglected means? It literally means overlooked. Powerful. And let me say this to you, that the main business of the church is fulfilling the Great Commission, no doubt about it. But as we're doing some of those things, if you're not careful, I'm talking about as a pastor, studying and preaching and studying and preaching and studying and preaching. If we're not careful, we can overlook that and overlook that and overlook that. But let me tell you something, the pastor and staff can't do all of it. Stay with me. There are things in life, in your personal life, but especially in the setting of a local church. Listen, as things are going great, these things that are needs can be neglected if we're not careful. First thing I want you to notice with me is the neglected widows. This was a need. Now my sermon starts right here in verse number 2. The second thing I want you to see with me, not only the neglected widows, but number 2, the needed workers. We see the needed workers. Now if the apostles tried to do it all, this is found in verses 2 through 6, where it says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now if the apostles tried to do all of it, for instance, as the apostles, when they saw this need, from this murmuring that had arisen, if they said, well, we'll take care of that too. You listening to me? One of two things was going to be neglected if one person tried to do it. Either the widows were going to be neglected or the ministry of the word was going to be neglected. Now keep in mind that the ministry of the word was going on and the widows were being neglected. So this brings me to this. They knew they had a need and it had to be met. But they could not allow it to take priority over their God-given duty of studying and preaching God's word and seeing people saved. Do you see that tonight? These apostles realize, yes, that is a need that needs to be met. But God has given me the exalted privilege and the duty to study his word so I can preach and see people saved. Therefore, here we go, it was going to take some people serving behind the scenes to help the work to keep thriving. Now this is a powerful portion of scripture. Now notice verse number 3. The Bible says, look ye out among you. Among you. In other words, you who are in this congregation, you who are listening right now, look you out among you, those who have these qualifications, so they can take care of that need, which frees up the pastor and those others who may be called with him to study and labor in, I'm talking about labor in his study. Listen to me. Does that mean that the pastor should not care for widows? Absolutely not. It's the pastor's duty. It's the pastor's responsibility. You understand that, right? You understand that there are things that need to be done. But you understand that the pastor cannot do it all. Because if the pastor did it all, nothing's going to get done. Nothing. Because I believe it was D.L. Moody said, it's this one thing I do, not these 10 things I dabble in. Let me say it again. He said, it's this one thing I do, not these 10 things I dabble in. Let me tell you one of the things that the devil really throws at me. You say you're trying to get us to feel sorry for you? No. God knows my heart. But I had a couple in the hospital. They were not coming to this church, but I was out visiting with a man in the hospital, and they asked me, they said, Jody, they said, how is it being the pastor of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Is it overwhelming you? And I made this statement to them. I said, in a nutshell, I said, as long as I keep priorities straight, it's not overwhelming. But when I start looking at everything that needs to be done, when I look at everything that needs to be like that and that and that and that and good night, look at that and look at that, that's when it becomes overwhelming. Let me tell you something. God has gifted this church in such a way that every single solitary need can be met if people are willing to serve behind the scenes. It's the way God's made it. Now, I want to give you some things about this. Let me give you three things about these workers. I believe it's two things, whatever it is. Number one, let me show you the importance of these needed workers. The importance of it is found in verses 2 and 4, where the Bible says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Look at verse number 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. See, the importance of these workers was to help the apostles continue doing what was being done so people can be saved and the word of God could be preached. See, the importance was to help the church to have the impact that God really wanted it to have. The importance of these workers was so that the church that's seeing people saved thousands and thousands and thousands and daily, so that could continue, there had to be people willing to serve behind the scenes. I hope you're seeing what I'm saying here tonight. I'm saying the importance of these needed workers is so that the word of God would not be neglected. And the importance of these workers is so that the word of God could keep on being preached and the apostles wouldn't have to say, wait a minute, I'm going to have to give those 2 hours up that I was giving in prayer or giving in the word. I'm going to have to give that up because this widow over here is calling for me and all that. Now listen, that doesn't mean that the apostles can't do that. I'm just saying that's not the major duty God's given them. God has gifted the church, those among them, that can be put over that so that people don't blame the pastor and people don't look at the pastor and say, why didn't he come see me? Wait a minute. He sent somebody to see me because this is what he's called to do. Now that doesn't mean that I'm not going to visit you. I hope that you see us visiting you, myself, our staff. Don't he's changing something. He's saying I'm never going to visit him. No, listen, you have every right to expect me to come see you when you're sick. And God willing, I'll be there. But I'm saying we can't do everything. We must have help to get all the needs met so the church can go forward and we reach more people for the cause of Jesus Christ. This is biblical. The importance of these workers. Number two, the ingredients of these workers. This is found in verse number 3 of Acts chapter 6. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men, here it is, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Now there are several ingredients to these workers. In other words, if you're working behind the scenes, whatever it may be, nursery workers, whatever it may be, sound system, whatever it may be, bus drivers, whatever it may be, bus captains, whatever, I'm talking about something that's behind the scenes. Nobody sees you do it per se, but it's something that is vital to the ministry of this church that if you do not do that, it's going to be neglected, it's going to hurt the health of the church, and the church will not be as effective as it can be. You with me? There's several things that ought to summarize a needed worker. Number one, faithfulness. You say, I didn't read that. I read it in verse number 1. Because the Bible says they were neglected in their daily ministration. Daily. In other words, this could have gotten monotonous and tiring. Taking care of these widows right here, I'm talking about back in this day. It was a daily thing. They could not let a day go by with them being neglected. In other words, these people, whoever said, I'll take care of that, so you can study the Bible, so you can feed us on Sunday, so you can feed us on Wednesday, I'll take care of that. They had to be faithful to it. Faithfulness. Daily, day in, day out. Widows depended on their faithfulness. If they were not faithful, then the widows were not taken care of. Secondly, was the ingredient of an honest report. That word honest report means integrity and good reputation. Let me say this to you. If somebody visits this church and they walk back to the nursery and they see a lady back there who is living like the devil at work, or living like the devil at home, or living like the devil at a ball game, or living like the devil somewhere else, and they come back and they see you back there getting ready to take their baby, but you don't have a good reputation, we've just lost that couple. Amen. Now I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I'm saying if you're serving behind the scenes, somebody's going to know who you are. Hey, are you listening? These people in this church may not have known who these men were, but I guarantee the widows who were being taken care of knew them. And all I'm saying to you is we're looking at the ingredients of these workers. They must be faithful. They must have an honest report. Number three, they must be full of the Holy Ghost. That means to be in control and under control of the Holy Spirit of God. You ever use a chainsaw? I don't know if I ever have or not. Probably best I haven't. Well, you might have half the preacher you have now, and that is a small amount. I know that. I've learned when I rip myself, it's hard for you to rip me, you know what I mean? Sure. If you'll come back to my office, I've got a little calendar there. I've got a yearly calendar and then one of those table calendars was in my way on my desk, not really, but so I just pinned it to my wall. My wife hadn't seen it yet, I'm sure she'll take it down. But it's about right here, just right here, you know. And Brother John came in my office. Appreciate Brother John. Our bus director, and he said, look here. He said, this, he's put it for Zacchaeus and himself. What are y'all laughing at? See, that's not right. What am I saying? I'm saying be under the control of the Holy Spirit. You ever use a chainsaw? Could you imagine trying to use it without plugging it in or without turning it on? Let me use that chainsaw. You want to turn it on? No, I'm just going to cut it myself. You listening? It's going to take you a whole lot longer, and it's not going to be straight. Right? But you start that thing, and you let it run the way it's supposed to run, and it's powered up now, it'll do its job a whole lot quicker, and it'll cut straight lines. Let me ask you a question. You powered up? I'm not asking, did you drink that Powerade? I'm not asking, do you have a lot of energy? I'm asking, are you full of the Holy Ghost? Is the Holy Ghost controlling you? Is He controlling you? You say He's controlling me. You're reading your Bible every day? No, impossible. He's controlling me. You're praying every day? Impossible if you're not. He's controlling me. Did you tell anybody about the Lord this week? No, impossible. Why? Because all those are things that He's told us to do, and when we're under His control, we will do what He's told us to do. Amen. We're looking at the ingredients of these needed workers. There was the neglected widows. That was a need that needed to be met, no doubt about it. But the apostles, the preachers, if you will, they could not devote their time completely to that because they had a God-given duty of studying the Word and praying and feeding the church and seeing the church grow and people being added to the church. So there were needed workers that needed to step in and take care of that so the church wouldn't have a hindrance in it. You see what I'm saying? This murmuring had to be stopped because there was disunity here. Something was being overlooked. So it was like these preachers said, wait a minute, that is a need. That is right. We're overlooking that. But I can't do it. I've got to get somebody else to help. Look out among you. Somebody who's faithful. Look out among you, somebody who's honest report. Look out among you, somebody who's full of the Holy Ghost. Look out among you, somebody who's full of wisdom. By the way, how do you get full of wisdom? You get full of the Holy Ghost. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible tells us in Proverbs. Get this, whoever decided to do this work, right here in Acts chapter 6, whoever decided to do this work could not be seeking for fame. They couldn't be seeking for fame. And they could not be seeking for glory. It wasn't one of those positions. See, there were seven who were appointed and accepted the job of serving behind the scenes. Now here we are, neglected widows. The Word of God tells us 3,000 people saved in chapter 2. They're being saved daily in chapter 2. There's 5,000 saved in chapter 4. There's multitudes of both men and women being saved in chapter 5. And in the midst of all that, things going great, here's a need. They're starting to be murmuring about it. There's a little unsettledness in the background. comes to the apostles to say, what are we going to do about this? Well, that is a need. Those widows are at our mercy. God expects us to take care of that, but he does not expect us to leave the Bible and leave prayer and devote our time to that. By the way, that is the secret of the devil in working in a church. He will get people who are supposed to be doing that. He'll say, do that. And by the way, it's a good thing, but it's not the best thing. And he'll try to get your priorities mixed up. He'll do that to your home too if you're not careful. You ever had somebody say this? Well, yes. I know my boy or girl has a ball game on Sunday night, but God understands we don't want to lose them. We're going to take them to the ball game instead of God's house. We don't want to lose them, you know. You just lost them. Amen. I'll amen myself, folks. I'm saying to you, listen, I grew up playing sports, but when sports takes the place of the house of God, that is wicked. That is ungodly, and God will not bless that. Amen. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. It's the truth. Don't fall for one of these tools of the devil that something that's good takes the place of the best thing in your life. And we see this because these neglected widows needed to be met. It brought us to the needed workers. And because these needed workers said, yes, I will serve behind the scenes. Yes, I will accept that. That brings us to my third and final point, and that's this. That is, we see the noted welfare. The neglected widows, the needed workers, the noted welfare. We see this in verse number 7. Look at it. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. What a beautiful verse. Now keep in mind what's already happened. I'm talking about thousands saved in chapter 2, daily being saved in chapter 2, thousands saved again in chapter 4, and multitudes being saved in chapter 5. And yet when this need arose, and they looked out among them, those who were full of the Holy Ghost, honest report, faithful and full of wisdom. And they said, yes, I will accept that. I will do that. I will submit to that service behind the scenes. I don't care if somebody sees me. I just see that God's doing a great thing. I recognize that God's saving people. I recognize that this church can have more influence. I don't want to see it stop. And if this murmuring's not stopped, then the growth of the church will stop. I will help there. I will serve there. I will meet that need. And when that happened, the word of God increased. And the Bible says their disciples multiplied. Not added, but they multiplied. Now, what's this mean? Stay with me here. When the neglected widows were met by the needed workers and the preachers did their God-called duty, certain things happened. I've already said two of them. God's word increased. Now, get this. The hindrance of the neglected widows was removed. Now, whether you understand it or not, in the middle of all of this, in chapter 6, when these widows are being neglected, that was a hindrance to what God was trying to do with that church. You see that? It was a hindrance. It was hindering him. Yes, he was doing great things, but there's something that arose that needed to be taken care of. If they did not take care of it, there is where the progress would have stopped. Do you see that? But somebody said, I don't care if my name's in the bulletin. I don't care if anybody knows what I'm doing. I recognize God's at work, and I will take care of that need. And because they took care of that need, God's word increased. Boy, that's beautiful. Secondly, disciples multiplied. Thirdly, a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Now get this, back in this day, these priests were those who more than likely probably had the intent to destroy Christ. These priests weren't friends of Christ. These priests were those who opposed the gospel. But when this church who had the hand of God resting upon it, and this needed, I'm talking about these neglected widows were taken care of by the needed workers serving behind the scenes, these enemies of the gospel started getting saved. Isn't that great? That is wonderful. Many were saved and the church continued to grow because of people in the congregation who were willing to serve behind the scenes. Now get this, don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this. When something big happens, something small helped it. Let me say it again. When something big happens, something small helped it.
You say, prove it. Let's take our two last big days.
Bus Family Appreciation Day. Big thing. God met with us. 9 precious souls walked the aisle in here. Many of you visited. And I don't even know who some of you were. Nobody came to me and said, oh, hey, I just want you to know, I visited 5 hours this week. Nobody came to me saying that. Nobody said that. But I guarantee you many of you knocked doors that day, that week. And nobody may know but the one whose door you knocked on and God. And yet that small thing helped bring about a big result. It's just the way God's made it, folks. It's the way He's made it.
Big ministries, get this, would never survive without somebody doing the little things. It wouldn't. You got a bolt in your hand? Who ran them? Who folded them? Who printed them? The buses that run on Sunday, who drives them? Can anybody stand up and give me all 10 bus drivers' names? I don't even know if I can. I'll be honest with you. You listening? It doesn't matter if I know who they are. What matters is God already does. Amen. Amen. These boys and girls that come, are you listening to me? When there's a bus kid, a bus boy, a bus girl coming down here, snotty nose, half dressed, and they stand up right here and I call their name and say, have you just trusted Christ as your Savior? And there with that snotty nose sitting there, half dressed, all this kind of stuff, don't even have a coat in the wintertime, they look up and they say, You ought to be jumping the pews, folks. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question. When a bus kid comes in here, when's the last time you heard somebody say, oh, by the way, such and such drove that bus to get them here today? Oh, by the way, this is their bus captain. Here's their bus captain's name. Oh, by the way, here's the church member who's just out and about knocking that door this week. You don't hear that, do you? But God's keeping records. Amen. Amen. And I'm saying big things happen when small things are being taken care of. A church will not do all it can, nor have the influence it could without people serving behind the scenes. It's not going to happen. Now the preacher's primary, by the way, I'm not preaching this to get out of work, folks. I'm asking God to make me a pastor that works harder than any pastor in this world. I want to work harder than anybody. I'm not trying to outdo that one or that one. I'm just saying, God, give me a mind to work. I'm not going to be lazy. If I'm a lazy pastor, kick me out of here. Amen. That's the truth. I'm not going to be a lazy pastor. I'm not trying to get out of work. I'll be there for you as often as I can, and you know that. God helping me, unless I drop the ball or forget something somewhere along the way. I want to be there for you. But you understand, I can't do everything. You understand our assistant pastor, he can't do everything. You understand our bus director, he can't do everything. Our youth director, he can't do everything, folks. But when you get on board and you say, I will serve behind the scenes, I don't care who knows me. God's word will increase. Disciples will multiply. And those who are opposed to the gospel, they might even get in on it. Amen. The preacher's primary job is to study and preach the word of God and soul winning. But other needs must be met that he cannot do himself. That's where you come into play. God doesn't bring you to a church to sit. You say, Jody, I can't do much. Listen, there's something in this church you can do. Something. You say, I can't even get out of my house. You listening to me? Then get on your phone and make some phone calls for us. You say, listen, there's something I can't do. I can't get out of my house. Here's a major thing I'm wanting to do with our shut-ins. Why not make them prayer warriors? Amen. Wouldn't you like for a Mr. Curley to be praying for you tonight? Huh? Sure. Don't you ever fall. Are you listening to me? By the way, it's not in my notes, but I'm going to go ahead and say this here. For you dear elderly people, God knows I mean that with all the respect in my heart. I'm talking about those who you consider yourself a senior saint. Let me tell you something.
I know we're going after young couples, but I'm going after everybody. And I want to say something to you. I salute you because you've paid the price here at Buffalo Ridge. And I'm begging you, don't sit on the sideline. Don't say, my day's over. I can't do anything. He's trying to do this. I can't help with that. Listen, there's something in this church you can do. I don't care how old or how young you are. Something you can do. And all I'm saying is, can you, listen to me just a minute. I'm on the last page of my notes, but I'm going to go over if I have to because I want to see my grandma play the organ with her feet. But now here's the thing I'm trying to say to you. Could you imagine what an impact Buffalo Ridge would have if every one of us gathered here today would simply do our part? What if everybody said, there's one thing I know all of us have been given to do. What's that? Witness? Yes. Could you imagine what would happen if everybody took that serious right there? I'm going to tell somebody about the Lord this week. By the way, we're going to have a soul winning seminar and soul winning seminars throughout the year. You'll see that next Sunday night. What am I saying? I'm saying, could you imagine what this church would do in this area and around the world? Now you see what we're doing already. We have great impact around this place and around the world, but could it be more? Could it, yes or no? Does God want it to be more? Yes. How's it going to happen? When those among you say, I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. I'll do that. And while I'm doing that, I'll tell people about the Lord. God help His church to be that way. From greeters to nursery workers to the custodians. You listening to me? Those who clean the buildings. There are people in this community who would visit this church that if they saw dirty buildings, they'd never come back. That's the truth. They go back in the nursery. If it's dirty back there and they have a newborn baby, you think we'll see them back in our church? Do you? No. Who cleans that? I know who cleans it. It's not my purpose to call their name. It's my purpose to say this, God bless them because they have part in reaching people with the gospel. What about the grounds crew? What about the patrol duty? What about Sunday school teachers? We have, I think, 60-some Sunday school teachers. Anybody want to stand up and try to name them all? Anybody know who teaches in the third grade department? Who's the superintendent of the third grade department? I know who it is. Maybe if you work up there, you know who it is. I'm not asking anybody to stand up. What am I saying? I'm saying this. They may not know that you're a teacher, but God does. And He's given you that exalted privilege to teach those boys and girls behind the scenes. And by serving behind the scenes, you're allowing the church to go forward for the cause of Christ. What about those who need to contact absentees? What about those when people are sick, they get on the phone call? Get on the phone and make a call and say, hey, how you doing today? That's a need. What about visitation? What about knocking doors? Everybody ought to be doing that. What about Sunday school lessons? Now, we all know who writes the adult curriculum. Realize how many hours it takes her to write that curriculum? Mrs. Lashley. And it shines through that it took her that long. What about secretaries? What about ushers? What about those who lock the doors? What about those who turn the lights off? You say, what's important to that? If they forget to turn the lights off, then the power bill's going to go up, and there may be somebody that we can't reach with the gospel with that $5 that went to the overdrawn good night electric bill, whatever my mind's trying to think up here. You say, how are you thinking? I'm thinking this way. There's a world that's lost that needs to be saved, and every single solitary part makes a difference. Makes no difference what it is. What about those who fold the bulletins? What about those who print the bulletins? What about the bus ministry, the drivers and the captains? What about those who decorate the auditorium? What about those who make meals for sick people? What about the instrumentalists? What about the choir members, the adult and children? I'm talking about those who work with the children. What about those who run the sound system? On and on and on and on we could go. People serving behind the scenes is still needed today. There's something behind the scenes that you can do to help this church reach more people. God help us to get involved. By the way, Stephen was later used to preach and perform miracles, right? However, Stephen may have never been used to preach the word if he had not been willing to feed widows first. Just like Joshua. Joshua was used to see great things happen in his life, but he may not have been used in that capacity if he was not willing to be simply known as Moses' minister in Joshua 1:1. Are you serving behind the scenes? God help you. What about the prison ministry? What a ministry. Anybody know the list of people that go up every Tuesday night and go door to door and witness to people in the prison? Anybody knows who does that? What am I point? My point is this: who cares who does that? Who cares if anybody else knows? The only thing that matters is he already knows. And that is something behind the scenes that God is using to help this church have influence for the cause of Jesus Christ. What's my heart? My heart is this. My heart is, are you involved? Are you involved? If you are, keep it up. Why? Because your, what you think may be small, is helping the big to reach the masses. Amen. If you're not involved, get involved somewhere, somehow. And you'll hear details on this a little bit later about how you can get involved. This is kind of a preparation message, if you will. And may the Lord help us all to say, listen, God did not save me to sit. God saved me to serve. And I will serve, if so be, behind the scenes, realizing that in God's work, there's no small jobs. Amen. What about the mechanics? Bus is not going to run if they're not being taken care of. Anybody know who does that? I know who does it. I hope they don't care if anybody else knows. I don't believe they do. But all I'm saying to you folks, there are no small jobs when it comes to the work of the church. God's put us all together so we can unite and go forward and get more people in all the time, like this. Wouldn't you like to see the church do that? How's it going to happen? You help it roll. You help take care of that, and you take care of that, and you take care of that. And there we go. We're in unity. We're going, we're going, we're going, we're going, we're going. And people being added to the church all the time. And the influence is spreading across the world. Beautiful, isn't it? And may the Lord help us all to see this for what it is. Let's all bow together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, take this simple thought and use it in a mighty way. May thy will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Whenever they get ready here, they're going to begin to play through softly. I wonder tonight, are you part of those among us? Now, what I mean by among us are those who are truly in the family of God. Do you know you're saved? Do you know that heaven's your home? Do you know that if you drop dead, that life is only beginning because you have everlasting life? Is there anybody tonight say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But is there one tonight say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not among us, but I want to be. I'm not a child of God, but I want to be. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Then let me ask you this. Is there something behind the scenes that you could do to help this ministry go to the next level? Are you willing to do whatever's needed to help this ministry go forward? Have you say, Jody, I'm not involved. Now, what I mean by that is you're not doing something on a consistent basis. But you say, Jody, if there's a need somewhere, God knows my heart, I am willing to meet that need to help this church go forward to reach more people. Now, whether you're involved or whether you're not, let me just ask it this way. If God is speaking to you in such a way
that you say right there at your seat, I am willing, God's working in my heart, I am willing, just like those men in Acts chapter 6, when there's a need that arises, I am willing to step up and say, I'll serve that, I'll take care of that, whether it's in front of people or behind the scenes. Most of the time it is behind the scenes. You say, Jody, I am willing, God knows my heart, I am willing to get involved behind the scenes to help this church go forward. God, I believe, is speaking to me. You be honest, person. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air, please, right now? Be an honest person. God bless you. You got your hand raised. I want you to lower it, but I want you to look at me just a moment. That's a lot of you. You say, Jody, what can I do? Over time, you'll see. There might be a bus that you can get on and help. There might be a nursery spot, ladies, that you can get involved in. I don't know what it is, but God will show you. He will show you. And I realize that some of you who are looking at me, you're already doing other things, and I know that. But there's nothing wrong with wanting to do more. And God will show you what that is too. Maybe it's soul winning. Maybe it's visitation. I don't know what it is, but God does. If you're willing, He'll use you. He really will. Just a moment, I'm going to have you to respond. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you right now. We're not even stood yet. But I'm going to ask you right now, if you mean business with God, you're looking at me right now and you say, Jody, I mean this. I want to take care of a need. I want to offer myself to God to serve behind the scenes to help this church go forward. You mean business with that? Do you? Do you? If you mean business right now, I want you to leave your place. I want you to come to this altar. Would you do that? I want you to tell God about it. I want you to tell the Lord about it. May God help you. May the Lord help you with this. You're making yourself available tonight, and then you pray and ask God. Say, God, show me what it is. And He'll show you. You might hear some of it next Sunday night. But He'll show you in His time. And may the Lord help you with this. I want to deal with those who, let me just say, those who are above 60 years of age. If you're over 60 years of age, would you look up here, please? I want you to know something. I love you from the bottom of my heart. And I do not want you to ever think that I just need to turn it over to the younger generation now. Hogwash. Hogwash. We need you. I'll tell you what you can do for the younger generation. You can get some of them and take them under your wing and say, hey, why don't you go knock a bus route with me? I'll do all the talking. I just want to train you and show you how to do it. Why don't you do stuff like that? Do you see the potential of this meeting tonight? May God help you. Don't quit. Don't quit. Maybe the Lord's dealing with you if you'd like to leave your place and come and say, God, help me. Help me to stay on the firing line. And we'll show you some things that you can do. I realize that some of you who are looking at me right now, I realize some of you are limited. There's some things you can't do that you used to could do. That's a southern term, used to could. You used to be able to do it. You can't do it anymore. But there's something you can do. May God help you. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, would you leave your place and would you come? As he sings, if God's dealing with you, would you come? You teenagers, won't you make up your mind now? I'm going to get involved now. We'd like to have a teenager on every bus route just to help it, to be a runner, to go knock on doors and say, hey, are you coming today? We need teenagers to do that. Like to have one on every route. Why don't you be one of them? God help you. As Brother Gary sings, if God's dealing with you, would you leave your place? As he sings, would you come, please?
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I
bless you. You may look this way. We're just about through. Amelia Burchett is coming. She desires to rejoin this church by statement. That's a great thing. We're glad to have you, as long as you behave yourself. What's the pleasure of the church in this? Could I get a motion, please, to receive her on her statement? God bless you, Brother. Brother Mullen, second. Brother Moore, all in favor, raise your hand high and say aye, please. Aye. Just aye, not aye, please. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to dismiss all the teenagers and their parents downstairs at this time. And I'm going to dismiss all the men. Now, unless you ladies need to leave, and I understand some of you need to leave, unless you absolutely have to leave, I want to ask you just to stay back just for a few moments. This meeting shouldn't take longer than 5 minutes, God willing, unless there's questions. And if you wouldn't mind to make your way towards the front here, and we'll have a brief meeting. God bless you. Remember Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Cadets for Christ at 6:30.